everybody. Welcome to this week's Idea Lab from the Entrepreneur Experiment with me, as always, Gary Fox. Today, we've got a special Idea Lab for you. I mentioned it to you last week. I'm bringing on guest entrepreneurs to bring fresh ideas and insights and trends to the community. So this week, we have our first special guest. It is Connor Carney from JetBooks. Connor also has a great podcast. You should check out Irish Business Builders as well. So JetBooks do remote payroll for your company. So if you need payroll, chat to Connor. Anyway, he brings fresh insight today, and he's got a bit of a controversial opinion, which we're going to dig into now in a second. He has something that we don't think we've talked about too much in the pod, and it might shock you. Be prepared. First up, I want to thank my three partners for this season. We've Chapter. You can visit them at chapter.ie. Chapter are 360 degree branding specialists. What does that mean? That means if you need some branding done, whether it's refreshing an existing brand you have, which is a pretty good idea considering how much the world has changed in the last couple of years, or you have a concept and you want to bring it from concept idea stage to final finished marketing project or brand or product or whatever that is, and you have a bit of a budget to spend, talk to Deirdre and the team at Chapter. They will sort you out. Next, I almost hate to mention this, but it's almost Christmas. If you haven't sorted out your company Christmas party or conference or end of year event, you need to talk to Sean from findavenue.ie. They will help you with everything. Log on. It actually doesn't cost you anything. Go to Find a Venue, chat to Sean. He'll help you sort out your company event for the end of the year. Thirdly, Gareth and his team at Bay Street Innovation. If you're a non-technical founder and you need some extra technical help, chat to Gareth and the team. Or if you have a company already and you are struggling with a lot of manual, mundane processes, they might be able to help you automate the vast majority of them. So check them out at Bay Street Innovation. Now, on with today's chat with Connor from JetBooks, and we talk about why it might be better to buy a business than start a business. Here's my chat with Connor. Connor, welcome to the pod.
Thanks for having me, Gary.
The idea lab is we just literally talk about ideas. I talk about cool things I've seen, trends, ideas, business ideas I think are cool. So what do you think is cool right now?
Yeah. Now, I could be a terrible candidate for this segment because I have this opinion that ideas and trends are kind of nonsense, and it all just depends on the person and who they are, and I think a lot of the time trends they're sometimes too hard to do, or there's too much competition, or maybe the business case for those particular trends isn't maybe as substantial or as good as some people, especially inexperienced people, might think. So I know that like a lot of people that might be listening to this or the podcast would be potentially in a job wanting to start their own business. And in those situations, which is the situation I was in, and I was maybe misguided a little bit at the start, thinking, oh, I want to come up with the next best thing. And I want to come up with, you know, something, as we were talking about earlier, the Uber for X, or, you know, the Airbnb for Y. And those things can be good ideas, but very difficult to do. And, you know, the fact that there's only been about three or four successful ones in the world would lead me to believe that it's, you're kind of chasing a red herring as such. So my big trend or kind of sexy opinion on this is that, you know, service businesses, whether they're blue collar or whether they're kind of B2B, are easy to set up, easy to execute, and you're in a space where there's tons of competitors, which is actually a good thing. It kind of shows that there's money in a concept if there's loads of people making a living out of it. And within that, you can kind of carve out your own niche, and the competitors in these fields tend not to be as sophisticated. If you wanted to start a plumbing business and you knew and understood all the business ideas around what customers like and so on and so forth, you're not going there with a technician's mind, you're going with a business owner's mind to that. You can do very well because A lot of the time, a plumber will be a plumber. They will be very good at plumbing. But are they good at client management? Are they good at accounting? Are they good at hiring people? Are they good with people in general? Mm-hmm. Do they understand what customers want? Are they on time? Are they clean? And all those things that are actually very easy to do can help you out at the start. Plus, you have the added benefit of not having to worry about what the right model is. You know, oh, do I have to come up with, you know, will this work? You know, we already know the plumbing works. You know, we already know that carpentry works. We already know that landscaping works. Accounting, digital marketing agency, or whatever it might be. Proven model, already been done. People making loads of money. Why wouldn't you just
do that? Is your idea to set up brand new ones, or is it to maybe take over old ones that are already there but underperforming? What's your idea?
So, part, and actually this
here we
was,
go, here we all, go, was, we're going to get the goods.
It was almost my second point that I was going to say, depending on whether, you know, what stage you're at, and whether it's your first business or whatever it might be, there's low barriers to entry, so you can start yourself and everything. What I would say is that when you start something yourself, you are committing to a few years, a few very lean years, while you get things up and running, while you learn various things, and until you really kind of hit your stride. You know, having started a business from scratch a number of years ago, I don't think I would do it again. I think if I was getting into a new business, I think I would get some money together from people, friends and family, or whatever it might be, and I would try to buy a business. I just think if you can skip the startup stage of a business, you're going to be in a much better position. You can pay yourself a salary, and there's plenty of these businesses that would be available for sale. They're hard to sell because the person kind of doing everything tends to be the owner. Yeah. They tend to be owner managed business, and therefore you don't have to pay substantial amounts of money for them. So I think it depends really where you're at. But I like the model of buying a business and going that way. I would listen to a lot of they're called search funds. I don't know if that's a common term that everyone would use. It's a very kind of niche way of investing in businesses, and it's essentially when someone invests in a business in order to run that particular business, in order to become the CEO. So you raise what's called a search fund from investors, and then you would say, I'm now going to search for a business to buy.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Search fund. So it's there is a course that's been taught at Harvard for the last, you know, 30 or 40 years or something like that. And that has been the kind of there's also one in Stanford, and both of those courses are those professors. One of them has a book. It's called the Harvard Business Review Guide to Buying a Small Business. Mm. That's really good. It brings you through the whole process. And then Stanford have a free one online that you can just, you know, and there's a checklist, you know, various things like when you're buying a business, what to look out for. One example might be customer concentration. Does this plumbing business have one big account with a building contractor? And if that building contractor was to leave them, if that customer was to leave, would they be without a business?
Yeah.
You know, there's one risk just out of the many things. But, you know, there's a checklist to go through. So I think the kind of sweaty startup model, just start. And if you're kind of... you might, if you're already in a job and, you know, depending what responsibilities you have, maybe you need to work that out. How much money can I make from this on my own for a certain amount of time? Or can you kind of afford to run a search fund and to actually buy a business? And I think both are great. But the model, I think the key is, you know, uncertainty is all around us anyway. So like, why make it so difficult for yourself trying to come up with, you know, an Airbnb based on Bitcoin or something, you know, on what the media is trying to kind of, you know, show you the whole time. I mean, if you looking at people like Mark Zuckerberg or, you know, founder of Snap or any of these things, you might look at them and say, oh, this is how you start a business. And actually, it's just that type of person or that type of business is so rare that the media will focus on it because, you know, someone in their 30s can make billions. But you could certainly make a very, you know, high hundreds of thousands, if not millions, going a route that is far more secure and far more likely to end up in a good place.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because it's so rarely talked about, and for the exact reason, that celebrity entrepreneur, that sexy story, because it's a good story, right?
Yeah.
Everyone likes that, like, oh, he started nothing, now he's worth 10 billion,
yeah.
Richest person on the planet, all that. And it's only in the last, I've only seen it in the last year, people are now start to say, well, look, you can actually buy existing businesses that are already there, they'll have 10 years of a track record, you look at the accounts, you can see who their customers are. Yeah, it's. I wonder why that is. Is that, you know, everyone wants to start from scratch?
But I think if you were to take the most successful business people in Ireland, if you were to take the Sunday Times Rich List and go through it, 99% of them would be in boring businesses.
They'd be
in, you know, plumbing contractors, engineering firms. You know,
they all have quite generic names. XYZ Holdings.
Yes, like, exactly.
What
yeah.
do they do?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, generally,
what
it's,
do they do?
It's the stuff you're talking about. It's construction or materials or supplying raw materials, oil, textiles, whatever it is.
And it feeds into that whole thing about it's not maybe as exciting.
Mm.
And it's kind of not the new shiny object. But ultimately, like, when you're starting a business, you're investing. And pretty much every decision you make within a business is a financial decision. You're constantly deciding where I'm going to invest these resources, whether it be time or capital or whatever it might be. And the best investors in the world aren't just jumping on the new thing. They're not just jumping on Bitcoin. They're not just jumping on something that looks shiny. Mm. They tend to be investing in very, very boring, straightforward businesses. And there's a lesson to be learned there, I think, when you're going into business for yourself, or when you're operating a business. If I'm running a plumbing business, how many people have built plumbing businesses? Like, millions. I could actually go out, find someone who's done this in the exact same way, and just copy-paste, basically, to my business.
Mm.
Now, it doesn't give you the element of, oh, I want to come up with this thing on my own, or I want to you know, work it out myself. But even, I think, like, if you can deal with the boredom and deal with the same thing and not really making, you know, not trying to come up with the next best thing, even within the operations of the business, that again is, you're far more likely to build a bigger business, which tends to be what most people want when they go into business initially.
That's the key thing. What do you want? What do you want? Do you want to be on the Indo top 30 under 30?
Yeah.
Or do you want to be earning 150 to 250k a year, mm-hmm. quite consistently.
Yeah.
And it's like you say, every business, every town in Ireland has like probably 10 to 20 really successful entrepreneurs, probably wouldn't call themselves that. Mm-hmm. They're business owners. They just work away in the background, probably bringing in probably shocking amounts of money, you know, 200-300k on what a business people wouldn't look at and go, oh, that's so cool. They wouldn't get so excited by it.
And then to look at the other side of that, the people, and not all of them obviously, but the people who are on those lists, that doesn't prove anything. You know, you could be on one of those lists and you might have a business that has just been in the Irish Times 3 times and doesn't have any customers.
Mm.
You know, and that's knowing what I know about some of the people who appear on those lists, it's not a substantial business. In 10 years' time, you know, the plumbing contractor is still going to be there. The Uber for whatever might not be, you know. So that's, I think that's, there's a lot of talk about these kind of exciting businesses, and I think it's a huge distraction, especially if you're in Ireland, because the market here is so small.
Yes.
And it's so difficult. I think it would be very, I'm going to say it's impossible to build the Uber of anything from here.
It's a big call. Big call. That's my soundbite for the week.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Look, yeah. I think, look, they're great ideas, right? And we talked about this before we started. You know, all those marketplaces and platforms, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
All brilliant businesses. But if you're doing it in Ireland, the market is so small.
Yeah.
Because you're already dealing with a smaller market. Then you're going into a smaller niche of whatever it is. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
So putting your money where your mouth is, if you're starting again, you'd go and buy a business.
I think, knowing what I know now, I would. But I think if I was still back 3 or 4 years ago before I started JetBooks, I think I'd still start it. For me anyway, I had a lot to learn and still do in terms of various elements of running a business, hiring staff, and I personally needed to go through the trial and error of doing that.
Yeah.
If, you know, I think if it was different, if I was in my 40s and I'd been quite good, you know, successful in my corporate career, and I had a bit of money together, and I had a bit more credibility, and I had a bit more confidence, I think in that case, I'd probably buy a business. But it really depends where you're coming from, how much experience you have.
That's great advice, actually.
Yeah.
It's great advice. If you're in your early 20s, start something, have your fun, do it for 2 or 3 years, probably learn all your lessons. But then if you have an operational head and you are coming out of being a head of finance or a CEO, or if you've done well corporately, I think you have the operations mindset to go in somewhere and go, well, that's inefficient. That just needs a bit of software.
Yeah.
That needs a new supplier. That needs the cost cut. There's huge efficiencies to be made there.
Yeah. Or the other option is to get a franchise of something, which is not, that is a really, really good way to run your own business, to make really good money, and to do something where you'll be given a plan, and you'll be given advice, and your hand will be held, and you'll have other people around you. I think that's another really good path to go down, rather than buying.
Where do people buy businesses if they are listening to it and they're thinking? Because I know you've got extensive experiences in the finance world. So if someone's looking to buy a business, where do they start?
I think you would probably start speaking to accountants and speaking to business brokers. Sometimes those are the same thing. Sometimes accountancy practices and firms would have a kind of business broking element to it, but you want to think about who the providers and the advisors are to these businesses, and who might be thinking about succession, and who might want to get some money for their business, and who might not have the next generation to leave it to, or whatever it might be. That's where I would start if I was going into it, and I think I'd go into it with the understanding that, you know, you're not going to be able to buy one within 3 months, probably. It's probably going to take a year of searching, getting to know people, getting to kind of understand the business and things like that. And it's really only for, someone that has a lot of experience. And yeah, I think there's someone listening to this and they're likely already to know, if I was starting a business, I'd like to buy one. I think you're dealing with that. I don't think someone listening to this is likely to go, oh, maybe I should buy a business. I think if it's that much realization, I think it's start a business.
Yeah, perfect. Connor, thanks for joining me today.
Gary, thank you very much for having me.
Pleasure.